If you're visiting with us, we want you to understand you're our honored guest and encourage you to come back at every opportunity you have to be with us here at Eastside. We want you to feel free enough that you're willing to sit or visit with us or talk with us and let us get to know you a little bit. Maybe you get to know us a little bit. We're not monsters. We're all country folk, so we're easy to get along with. We're going to continue this morning our series about can we understand the Bible? The simple answer is yes, but there is an element in this society that says no, we can't understand the Bible. Some are going to acknowledge that yes, the Bible can be understood and that it has been faithfully preserved and translated, as we've noticed in other lessons. They're going to say, yes, it contains books that serve as our authority, that is the canon that we've talked about in religion. And they're going to say, yes, it is inspired of God, but they're going to argue that it's still debatable that we can understand the Bible. There are going to be people that tell you, oh, you have to have someone to explain it to you. Or at the very least, they're going to argue that somebody needs to guide you or become a church authority when you're going to read the Bible. There are religions in our own community that will tell you, you can't understand that book. You need a priest or someone like that to tell you what it says. They won't let you read it in English in any translation. He has to preach from the Latin. I disagree with that. All of us can have this authority. We can be our own authority to a certain extent in studying the Word of God. We can be our own guide when it comes to studying the Word of God. All we have to do is understand that the Holy Spirit has given us this ability. I read once upon a time that the King James Version Bible was written on a fifth grader's level. I might disagree with that. I have a hard time sometimes with the these and the thous and the shouts and shout nots in understanding it, because like I've told you in the past, I'm an old country boy. I say y'all and ain't a lot. And that's not what you read in the King James. You don't read that in any of them. But so the question begs to be asked, can we understand the Bible? I don't care if you're Southern, redneck, highly educated, scholar, whatever. The answer to that is yes. But we can make it so difficult that the common man just cannot grasp what it says. It is a mysterious book. And some say so mysterious that only spirit-led people can comprehend and understand what it says. Well, in answer to that, to those types of questions, we need to notice a couple of things. First of all, the Bible was written and meant to be understood. It's not written in a way that you have to take it to somebody to interpret for you today what it says. Now, when you talk about the Old Testament, it was written for our learning. That's what Paul says in Romans 15 and verse 4. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning. For you and I, that we through, now notice here's what we don't have, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We give up so many times. You know, years ago, somebody would say, well, I've never studied that book of the Old Testament. Why? Because it's too hard. There's not a book in God's written word that you cannot read and understand. It may take a while. It may take some meditation. It may take more than just a simple reading. You can't read a passage like you would read the Cliff Notes in high school and try to do a book report. You have to read it with the intent to try and understand it. You know, and Jesus expected his listeners to understand what was being said. How many times did Jesus talk to the disciples and talk to the Jews and say, have you not read? That's what he would ask the Pharisees every time they would test him, remember? Have you not read? Have you not read what God has told us? We see that in Matthew several times, chapter 12 and chapter 19 anyway. Paul himself expected the unbelieving Jews to understand. So why can't we? If back in the first century, some 2,000 years ago, the Son of God and His apostles said that people can understand, why is it today in 2022 we can't understand? Are we any different than they were in the first century? Somebody might say, well, we've got more enlightenment than they had in the first century. Evidently not. If we can't understand what Jesus said in the first century and those that listened to Him did. Ethan used Acts 17 and verse 11, talking about the Bereans Wednesday night in his invitation, that they were more noble for their efforts of studying, remember? Paul told Timothy that he understood as a child. Now, granted, he had his mother and grandmother to teach him, 2 Timothy 3, but he still understood as a child what God's Word said. So if a child can get it, why can't somebody that's almost 60 years old get it? Huh? Maybe you're not 60 and you say, well, I can't get it. Or maybe you're more than 60 and you say, well, I can't get it. If a child can get it and understand it, why can't we? It's a fair question, isn't it? Why can't we? Paul said, Timothy, I know you know the Scriptures. But didn't some people need help in understanding in the first century? Well, yeah. Look at the 12. How many times did they ask him, you know, what are you talking about? Or this passage is hard for those to understand or comprehend. Just like the disciples in Luke chapter 24. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch when Philip ran to him, he said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless someone should guide me or teach me? We all need some assistance every now and then. And yes, sometimes it's because it contained a mystery to be revealed to us. You know, it was a mystery kept secret since the world began. Paul says in Romans 16, verse 25, this is the New American Standard, said, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past. You know, there were prophets of old that would prophesy, like Daniel, about the coming of the church in Daniel chapter 2. Do you think Daniel understood really what he was prophesying about? When he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream about the statue, do you think Daniel truly understood the mystery that he was revealing to Nebuchadnezzar? About those kingdoms that would come and be world powers in the future, and then ultimately one spiritual kingdom coming and destroying them all. But in verse 16, the very next verse, Paul says, but now is manifested, it's made known, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith. Can you understand it? Yes. Are you going to need some assistance? Maybe sometimes. I need assistance sometimes. That's why Paul told Timothy to study. Think about it. The psalmist would talk about meditating upon God's Word. As we were mentioning this in class, the thought come to me, how many times in high school and junior high did you buy the Cliff Notes version of some novel because you didn't want to read it? And then you were going to be expected to give a book report off of a pamphlet that was a 700-page book that you were expected to read. So you read the booklet thinking, that will suffice. Well, the Bible ain't like that. There are no cliff note versions. You have to study it. You know, you might have got away with giving your book report in school by reading the cliff notes or just reading the front and back covers of the paper, the dust cover. That ain't going to work to get you into heaven. You have to study. It is a mystery that is now revealed by the Spirit of God. It was revealed to the apostles and to the prophets. Paul says in Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 3, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery. Who made it known? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. As I wrote before, in few words, whereby when ye read, ye can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it has now been revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Paul says, you can get it. You can understand, you can comprehend what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you of God's man. Now, to understand the Old Testament, we have an aid. The Bible is its own best commentary. In order to understand the Old Testament, we have the help of the New Testament, which was a mystery in the Old Testament that can now be understood. So let's talk about the New Testament for a moment. The writers expected their readers to understand. That's like I said a moment ago, I read somewhere many moons ago that the King James Version was written so that a fifth grader could understand. It's written on that level. You remember the old TV show with Jeff Foxworthy? Are you smarter than a fifth grader? I think you are. So why can we say, I don't get it? Me personally, I think sometimes it's a matter of I don't want to get it. And that's a general assessment of what I see in people throughout the world. Luke wrote his gospel that one might know, he says in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding. Listen, he says, I had perfect understanding of all the things from the very first to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. So he's writing to this guy named Theophilus and he says, it was delivered to me. I got it. Now I'm going to write it down in order so that you can get it. Now what if he was writing to, say, Jeff? It's so Jeff can get it. It's so that you can get it. John said he wrote his gospel so that you can get it. This comes on the heels of Thomas doubting about who Jesus, about him being raised from the dead. We brought this up in class this morning. In chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 30, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Paul himself wrote, as we mentioned a moment ago from Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5, that people could understand to have his knowledge. Now, Paul's a smart guy, and he says, you can have my knowledge about the mystery that's been revealed. John wrote in his later epistle that one might know, 1 John 5 and verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Notice, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. But somebody's going to undoubtedly say, aren't some of these things hard to understand? Well, yeah, they are. But it doesn't mean you can't. Some of the things that Paul wrote were difficult. Peter talked about this in 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. as they do also the rest of the scriptures. See, that's my point that I made earlier. There are some people that don't want to understand the scriptures. They want to twist it for it to say what they want it to say. You take the denominational world about baptism, for example, about instrumental music. They twist it because they don't like what it says. They understand it, but they twist it to where now nobody understands it. Why do they have instrumental music? Why do they leave out baptism for salvation? Some look at the book of Revelation and say, that's the book I can't get. Because it's not written literal, it's written in what's called symbolic language, apocalyptic literature, figurative. When John writes something, it actually means something else. And somebody says, well, I don't want to study that book. And then they look at the book of Ezekiel and they go, that's another one. I ain't going to look at that book. No. Talking about the valley and the bones getting up and walking around. Mm-mm. I ain't studying that. And then the book of Daniel, the second half. Everybody loves the first half, the lion's den, the fiery furnace. But the second half is written in apocryphal language. Apocalyptic language. It's written in figurative language. It means something else. And people look at that and say, I'll go to chapter 11 or 12, and that's it. I ain't studying the rest of it. But you know what? It doesn't mean that they cannot be understood. It is untaught and unstable people that have problems, like Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. They want to twist the scriptures. And we are expected, as Peter says in chapter 3 of the second letter, verse 18, to grow in grace and knowledge. And as we mature, then we are able to handle the meat of the word, Hebrews 5. But you know, if you're not studying and you're not growing, you're not maturing in your faith and in your knowledge of God's word, then you need the milk. You need the basics. And so sadly to say, there are people that have been Christians for most of their adult lives and they're still feeding on the bottle because they're afraid maybe to study or maybe to grow. And they say, well, I can't study. I can't understand. Yes, you can. My daughter has friends that has a baby. I think he's almost 2 or 14 months or something like that. And they posted a video of him taking his first 4 steps. And everybody goes, aah! We get excited. But you know, as adults, we need to take more steps instead of crawling when it comes to our faith. There needs to be some excitement when we feed on the Word of God. We need to have the zeal that Paul would talk about in Romans, about wanting to study, wanting to grow. Just sitting and being complacent and apathetic ain't going to cut it. You see, the New Testament was written to be understood. And it's always through a progressive stages. But you know, not only was the Bible written to be understood, let's consider also that God expects us to understand His Word. God expects you to know what He wants you to know. The commands that He's given us. He expects us to understand His will. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, notice this, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God expects you to know what He's talking about. God expects you to believe. And how can you believe without studying? Without meditating? His commands that He gives us. Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. He gives instructions to His children. He says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Somebody says, no, I can't. I don't get it. You can get it. But you know, the sad part about it is, if they think they can't get it, they either don't start, or they may start and give up. And where does that leave you? Would God desire and command you to do something that is impossible for you to do? If it's written for a fifth grader, you're smarter than that. God expects us to understand it alike. Jesus prayed for unity among his followers. Why can we not get that? And part of the unity is that we all believe in the same thing. In John 17, Paul commanded Christians to have the same mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as he opened up the letter to the church at Corinth there, he pointed out in verse 10 that there should be no division or schisms among you, that you all need to come together and be in agreement about what God's Word says. And there are essentials in God's Word that we have to be united on. Ephesians 4, verses 3 through 6. Now let me ask you a question. Did either Jesus or Paul demand something that you cannot do? Did they put a goal in front of you and say, now you've got to do that, and it'd be like you taking a child and dangling a toy over their hand, and they keep reaching for it and reaching for it, and you laugh, but they're never going to get it as long as you're dangling it over their head. The Word of God is not like that. The Word of God is not being dangled over your head. You keep trying to jump and get it, reaching for it, and Paul says, whoop, you almost had it that time. Like the insurance commercial that I like. Got the young kid trying to reach the dollar that the old fisherman's got dangling out in front of him with a fishing pole, and they jump for it and go, whoop, you almost had it that time. The Word of God is not like that. It's not any trickery. It's there for us to know if we're willing to know it. Nothing has been commanded or demanded of us that we cannot do. And it's evident that a lot of people just do not understand the Bible, nor do they understand it alike. Why is that? Why don't some people understand the Bible? Well, some reasons I want to give to you that I sometimes hear from people. It can't be understood. We have seen from God's Word that it was written to be understood. So for me to back up and say, well, I can't get it, so I'm not going to try. To say that man cannot understand the Word of God is to impugn his ability to provide a revelation for you to understand. Who here doubts God? I mean, if you doubt God, then you must doubt Genesis 1, where he spoke into existence and it was. If you doubt the ability that God has for you to understand his Word, how do you understand that? You must doubt it, right? You doubt that there was a great flood and that there was a rainbow put in the sky to promise that it would never happen again. You don't get it, do you? Well, if you can get that, then you can get the rest of it. It can be understood. But people say, oh, I just can't get it. Somebody says, oh, only spirit-filled people can understand the Word of God. This belief actually adds to a lot of misunderstanding and division over what the Bible actually teaches. Everyone claims the Spirit is leading them to their own understanding. The conversation Sunday night that we had, God told me to come here. Ain't that what he said? David? Does God work that way? No. What he's saying is that only something spirit-filled can lead me to God. Well, you know, that's, in a sense, that's true. Because God's word is spirit-filled and is spirit-given and is spirit-led. But people that claim that only people that are led by the Spirit can understand the word of God, they are misguided. And others are wrong because they don't have the Spirit's leading. They wouldn't listen to somebody like me. It's based on misreading and misapplication of Scripture, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. He says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can we know them because they are spiritually discerned." People in the world are going to look and say, "Why would you be baptized in that water? What's so special about this watery pool up here?" The natural man, in his natural way of thinking, is not going to get what God wants him to do sometime. It's not that there's anything in this water. It's your act of faith. It's your understanding that you have to do what God said. But notice the context here, beginning in verse 6 of this chapter. Paul says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." Paul is contrasting God's wisdom and the wisdom of the world. You can't take God's word and study it with a worldly mind. The world, with its wisdom, will not, cannot, and won't understand what God has prepared. Now, what is known in the mind of God comes only from divine revelation. Now, let's notice a couple of these verses carefully. God has prepared things which man cannot perceive on his own. We go back to verse 9. He says, But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. You take heaven, for example. Can you picture in your mind what heaven is going to be like? A street of gold that's so pure that it's transparent. A foundation made out of pure, precious stones. I can't begin to understand. A place where there's no night and no day. I don't get it. I can't get it. But I want to see it. God has revealed them to His apostles through His Spirit, who alone knows the mind of God. Notice the next two verses. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. The apostles received that what the Spirit had revealed to them, so that you and I might know the things that were given to them to be given to us by God. In verse 12, Paul says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. And the apostles, they were speaking about what they had received, using the words of the Spirit, not with human wisdom, that he says in verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Here then is the proper meaning in verses 14 through 16. Paul says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." He's talking about here the natural man is one who depends upon human wisdom, such as he talked about the rulers of that age, without the benefit of divine revelation. And he talks about those who are spiritual. He who is spiritual, the one who has the Spirit, such as what the apostles were writing about, had been revealed from God's mind by the Holy Spirit, has been given by divine revelation of God's will. And he talked about that they had received, been given the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is therefore contrasting himself and the apostles with uninspired men. Just like Jesus gave the warning in Matthew 24, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. We need to remember what Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5. We'll not take the time to read it, but he talks about God has revealed what was unknown, the mystery, to those apostles who wrote it down for us, the prophets of God, who in turn have written what they received so that you and I can receive it. So, when you and I read it, we can understand it. We can understand their knowledge, because that's what God's plan was. We don't need some special guidance for someone led by the Spirit to understand the Word of God. The Word of God itself is the Spirit's own revelation of God's mind. But there are real reasons why people say they cannot understand the Word of God. Many don't want to put any effort into it. A lot of people just don't want to pick up the Bible because they have so many other distractions in their life. Now, I get it. I've been there with children. You've got sports, scouts, this, that, band, everything. It consumes a lot of your time. I get it. Like Dave Ramsey says, I've been there, done that, and got. I had a box of T-shirts. We kept them under the foot of the bed for the longest, and I think we finally got rid of them. We would buy T-shirts for every year that the kids were in band because it had the schedule and the program. And we wanted to advertise for the band. So we bought it. But you don't have to allow those things to push God out of your life. Still make time. Put in effort. And because they don't put time in, they remain as babes in their knowledge and their understanding of God's Word. I can't understand it. Well, how much time are you spending in study? Well, none. Duh. Now we know why. How long would you be able to keep your job if you didn't put any retraining into it? They may spend a lot of time studying, but their motives sometimes may be wrong. They want to prove themselves right and you wrong to justify why they want to live in their sinful ways. Or to prove other people wrong, reading only what finds the argument to support their position. But a lot of people just fail to apply the God-given common sense. I listened to G. Gordon Liddy when he was on the radio. Now, he was an educated man and he would use words. And I'm thinking, dude, I don't get it. I don't understand what you're saying. So somebody beat me to it. I was never going to call in, but somebody called in one day and says, I can't understand you. You're using these big $10 words. What do you mean by that? You know what G. Gordon Liddy said? You got a dictionary? Look it up. So I did. I started looking up those big words. You don't understand the Word of God? Look it up. Read some more. Continue to expound upon what you've read. Define words that are in the context. If you don't know what that word means, take a dictionary out. Google it. That word is actually going to be in the internet or in the dictionary. Webster's is pretty good. You might need a Strong's or a Vines or a Thayer to help you understand some of these words. But take into consideration all that God's Word says on a subject. You know, we studied Matthew 19 not too long ago about divorce and remarriage. But that's not the only passage. You can go to Mark, you can go to 1 Corinthians, you can go back to Genesis. And look at what all of them say. The main thing is, study God's Word, the Bible, the way that it was written for you and I. Book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Start at the beginning and read through to the end. And the problem is not with God's Word. The problem may be with me being lazy, sloppy in the way I handle God's Word. Remember what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Study. Study to show yourself a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible can be understood. It's as simple as that. It can be understood by children. It can be understood by people who are seeking the truth. And it can be understood by those who are babes in Christ. God desires all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. The question is not whether God's Word can be understood, but whether we, you and I, will make an honest and sincere effort to understand and obey it. Part of God's Word tells us that if we're not a child of His, a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, is that we need to put Him on in baptism. Well, see, there's a phrase, put Him on in baptism. Well, how do you put Him on? You're baptized in this watery pool up here to wash away your sins. And it's not that there's any cleaning agent in this water. It's your act of faith. It's your act of a good conscience that you're willing to make a change and do what God would have you to do. This is your opportunity. But it may be that you've done that. The Bible also teaches you that if you've gone back into the world after you've put Christ on in baptism, that you can come back. That you can come back. Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 is a good example of that. You need to repent and pray that God would forgive you. But also, if you're here and you've done all of those things, you don't have any sin in your life, you might have trials in your life. What sometimes we call dark clouds hanging over your head. And you just need prayers of the saints to encourage you to get through the rest of the day, the rest of the week. We can do that too. If you're here this morning and you need to respond,